Hello and welcome to the Bethany podcast. This is called After the Sermon, as you can see behind me. And I am Joe, and I am also joined by Tammy DeLau. She is the director of women ministry to women and groups.
Yep, glad to be here.
I'm excited that you're here, Tammy. It's always good to see you.
Thanks. I have a ton of fun with you guys.
And we also have Pastor Thad. And this week is January 17th? 18th?
Sorry, yeah.
17th. Right. 17th. It's the 17th of January, 2021. And Pastor Thad was preaching again. This was his second sermon on Romans 8, 28 through 30. And this one's pretty deep, do you think?
Yeah. So I think last week was deep, but it was kind of that initial foray into the entirety of these three verses and the promises that they hold. Because you simply can't, you can't reach the bottom of it in one sermon. Honestly, you can reach the bottom of it and, you know, you fill up a whole canon of sermons, right? It's just not going to, or tome, whatever, you're not going to fill it up. But I would say what was so deep about last week's almost had nothing to do with everything working to the good. It had to do with who God is. Mm-hmm. And I found that to be, don't get me wrong, I like things working out to the good. Don't get me wrong. But when you start talking about who God is, his characteristics, and that God that we worship, that's where sometimes the simple things in a way can be the deepest. And when you just start thinking about what it means to be sovereign and all-loving and all-knowing and all of this stuff, it boggles the mind, and then to think that he puts up with us, right?
It is messed up.
Yeah, it is. It is. And so I think it was a great preparation to where we looked at, okay, this initial promise, why we cling to it, why we love it, and then giving us that depth of, okay, we can count on this because of that great God that we have. And then this week we want to look more, or this week we have looked more at who those promises are for. Because you think about it, we really didn't say very much at all. We just said, this is the promise, and this is why people can bank on it. But we didn't talk really exactly about who this is for. And that's important, right? Because don't try to claim a promise, right, that's not for you. And so we're going to talk about who it's for. And then we want to go deeper into that mystery about how all things work out to the good. What's the ultimate impact? Because, again, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've been in a discipleship situation and someone asks a question and I'll just look at them and go, keep reading. They'll be on a verse. And I say, oh, I don't understand. So I was like, keep reading. Because often context will fill in the gap of meaning there. Or maybe it'll be in a different book or different area. But I love it. It's really fun, right? I'm sure it drives them crazy, but keep reading. You know, so it's really good. It's really good. But So this week we are, in that sense, truly going into a deeper place, although we want to be careful, right? We want to be careful how we do that, because some of these things, as we mentioned, we're doing this Hall of Fame series, and we want to do it to encourage people, because these verses, this is why we go to them, because they encourage us. We want to protect them, right, to not misapply these things as well. But then we also want to give them the knowledge to be able to decide certain things for themselves, but also not to be divisive, because I think we can get so hung up on different interpretations of certain things that we can become divisive when we don't have to be. When we can just say, man, this is enriching, this is great conversation, but you know what? When we walk out of these doors, this is not... It may change how I think about things, how I do certain things, but I'm still called to do those things. On that, we can agree. And so we just need to make sure as we go into this that we stay extremely humble, because we understand that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I think it was Matt Chandler once said that God is not an explainer, he's a proclaimer in his word. And I truly think one of the reasons he doesn't do this is because he is an infinite, sovereign, all-knowing God. I don't understand how the combustible engine works on my car. How in the world would I understand the process of salvation and what that took?
Right.
So I think God gives us what we need to know to bring him glory and to bring us benefit and good. And the rest of it, he's just like, I don't know if you'll ever know. But you know what? I'll have eternity to try to figure it out, right?
That's the exciting part about heaven.
Infinite learning with an infinite creative God, and just... Well, that's a whole nother sermon. I don't know if it's a sermon. It's a whole nother idea, is to think about once the kingdom is on earth, and we begin to explore even more greatly the depth of our God, and he's infinite, never coming to the end of it, what will we see, what will we know, what will we learn? Fantastic. I mean, wow. You don't even know where to begin on that.
No.
I mean, I think about the universe and all the different things that are out there, and I'm like, with the one who knows all about it, explaining
it's
it,
crazy,
talking about
yeah.
it, just find out about Bigfoot. What's the deal there? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Totally kidding.
Wow.
I just felt myself going off that nerd ledge, and I had to pull it back.
Tammy will
start Bigfoot for that. That's terrible.
Tammy's going to start talking about Star Trek. Come on.
Tammy has the best illustrations. So I steal from Tammy all the time.
So what would you say to people who maybe listen to this sermon and feel like, wow, that was really, I'm an Armenian, and that leaned a bit too Calvinist for me, and they're offended, and now they're mad at you because you're don't see God the way they see God. Well, what would you kind of say?
This is what I would say. This is where I lean, and I could be wrong. You could be right, but this is where I lean. This is where the text takes me. But brother, I'm totally okay that you're in that place. That's what you believe. I think you have some scriptural warrant there. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying that.
Sure.
Well, that's just ridiculous. That's not in the Bible. I don't see how you get this. No, I think we need to be honest, and I think we should have the confidence in our scripture and our God to say, listen, I don't. You know, I see where you're coming from in this, right? I can see that. I don't think you're trying to belittle God in any way, and. So, again, I want to say that, particularly on the Arminian side of that discussion, that there's, you know, for example, I believe in perseverance of the saints or once saved, always saved, which there's a difference there, but you're going the same direction.
Yeah.
I know an elder at my former church believed that it was possible to lose your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the most godly, spiritually minded persons. We care for each other. We get along great. We serve. We pray together, all this. But we disagreed there. And you know what? It was totally okay.
Mm.
We got caught up on a small group discussion on that one night. His wife looked at us and said, you boys should get a room. Yeah. So, but it was
nice.
Listen, let's don't be offended because someone thinks differently, right? There's a time and a place to take exception and for there to be divisiveness over certain core doctrines. But this is one, as we talked about again before, his ways are higher than our ways. We would not understand it. And again, I give Chandler credit. God is not a explainer. He is a proclaimer of truth. And so even if God did explain it, we didn't know it. But we have enough to know, to believe his promises, to know those promises, to claim those promises, and to drive us forward.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things, well, I appreciate many things about you, but one of the things that I do so appreciate is that you are so willing to say, here's a school of thought, here's a school of thought, here's a school of thought. They all fit on the spectrum of Orthodox Christian. I do so appreciate that about you. And so you're challenging us. I mean, you just gave Joe and I a challenge before we started rolling. So you are about helping us to love God with our minds. And so I so appreciate that. You're not standing up saying, this is what you should believe, and if you don't believe it, you're wrong. So thank you. Thank you for giving us three things and say, now go study. And what do you think Scripture says?
Yeah.
So
go learn and be enriched.
Right. I appreciate that.
We all still wrestle with these things. We always we have to keep learning and seeking truth. And that is joy, and you discover more about God in the process.
And I do think we were talking before, and I hope everybody is hearing, this is fun, and we can talk, and we tell we're blue in the face. But that's a privilege we have in America, where we aren't actually hunting for our food and going to find water to bring back for our children.
Yeah.
And so this is fun, and I love, the nerdy part of me loves the debate and doing it. But at the end of the day, if we can't walk away and serve Jesus together, whatever that looks like, then we've wasted our time.
It's a shame. So. People have been kicked out of churches. People have been kicked out of countries. People have even died over some of these ideas that we're going to talk about this week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really a shame. You know, Calvin even had one situation, and I can't remember all the details on it exactly, where he was a part of a group that actually had a man put to death because he disagreed with these things.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not mistaken, he commented later that he regretted that. But I
hope so.
I can't place it.
Wow.
But again, you know, you talk about coming out of the Reformation and what all was happening there, and then mm-hmm. and then being guilty of the same sin and mm-hmm. All of this. It just should really humble us and make us think. Now, there are core doctrines that we should stand on. Salvation through Christ alone, for example, right? Mm-hmm. This is a core doctrine. The Trinity mm-hmm. is another one. In my opinion, the virgin birth is another one.
Mm-hmm.
So there are core doctrines I think we must stand on.
Yes.
There's others that I think that we can be more relaxed about. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, thank you for encouraging us to play nice, because we're living in a world that is not playing nice right now, and we don't want to be guilty of that here.
I've had great mentors, mm-hmm. much smarter than me, show me the light on that, and it was good. So maybe I can do that for other people some too. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
So now we can dive in and know. Yeah. Everyone knows we don't want to fight people.
Here we go.
We're not fighting.
Yeah. Great. Mm-hmm. Great qualifier there as we jump in. All right, so we're jumping back into Romans 28 through 30, and we start this thing off with talking about, okay, who is this verse for, right? Because you can't claim something that's not yours, right? That's mm-hmm. that's not right. So, and one of the things I did in the sermon, because this is going to come back into play, is as I said, listen, there is a those in this passage. There is a specific, defined people that this promise is for. It's not just for everybody. You're like, well, you're kind of picking and choosing there, but that's going to be important mm-hmm. later on. The other thing that I said is notice again who the active agent. Remember last week, mm-hmm. I pointed that out. Who is the active agent? Who can we depend on? This is God. I communicated in the sermon that, listen, this is salvation from God's viewpoint. Mm-hmm. You know, this thing that is happening here is from God's viewpoint, mm-hmm. not necessarily ours, and we need to recognize that as we get into it, right? That's mm-hmm. another qualification. So anyways, kind of started that. So who are those? Who are they? Who mm-hmm. is this promise for? And again,
the magic lottery ticket now?
That's right. So, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So let's just start there, right? It's those who love God. Now, mm-hmm. I have never seen the perfect definition of love. Mm. Or I'm sorry, yeah, I've never read the perfect definition of love. I've also never heard or read the perfect definition of leadership, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I know it when I see it, right? So it's very hard to define love or leadership, and many have tried and have done great jobs at it, but they're not perfect. People can still shoot holes in it somewhere.
Yeah.
But you know it when you see it, you know it when you feel it. And so I think what you have in the Bible is you also have God in understanding our frailty and weakness, talked about this is how you describe love. This is what it looks like, mm-hmm. right? He shows us love in Jesus Christ, of course. Yeah. No higher love exists to lay down your life for a brother, right? He showed us that. Mm-hmm. But then it says this, that in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep me, you'll keep my commandments, okay? Mm-hmm. So there's an obedience factor there. Those that are loving God, those that are, that can claim this promise mm-hmm. should be those who are at least trying mm-hmm. to be obedient. That are trying to live after God. Listen, if you're out there, now listen, God is sovereign. He's going to bring all things right, according to his will. But if you're out there, you can't expect all things to end well, if you're not following after Christ, if you're not right. trying to live after him, right? That's got to be the power of your heart there. John 13, 34, pretty interesting here. New commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I've loved you. And that's the new part of it. Mm-hmm. Just as I have loved you, you are to love one another. So the one that this promise is for is for those who love God. How you love God? You love God by keeping his commandment. And then that commandment, or one of those commandments, one of the big ones mm-hmm. is to love others. Now it's interesting in 1 John, right? And keep in mind, all of these are from the same author, which is fascinating. So did I write that down wrong?
Anyways. John's the guy of love.
Yeah. Anyway, so he says this, right? It's not as though I was writing you a new commandment, but the one we've had from the beginning, that we love one another, because there's been some time space here. Mm-hmm. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. And so it's just this interesting. He's actually drawing it even closer, this connection between being obedient to God, the commandments, and loving each other. And one of the things that I try to draw an example there is, we want to love God. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Holy Spirit lives within us, but how do we how do we love God, man? It's like, God, I want to hug you. God, I want to serve you. God, I want to lift you up. How can we tangibly do that? Well, it's in loving others. And I kind of say, think about how God feels about this. So, if I and you are not together in the same room, and you want to get on my good side, you love my kids. If I see you loving my kids, going above and beyond for my kids, caring for my kids, looking out for their well-being, I'm going to love you because you love my kids. In fact, I may love you more than if you were just nice to me because you're kind to my kids. You've done well to my kids. You know, I think about in Morton, Illinois, it was a middle class, upper middle class, suburb kind of area. There was nothing I could give to those parents to try to love them. But what I could do is love on their kids through things like Trunk or Treat or Harvest Festival, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And so you know what it is as a parent to see your kid being loved on or to seeing them have a great time in your life or in their life. So these guys come in and we have an exotic petting zoo and they're petting pythons and strange little animals running all over them and eating things and riding the rides and all of this and being dressed up. And those parents are looking at us like we're $1 million because we've just loved on their kids. Mm-hmm. So when we're loving on God's kids, we're loving Him.
Mm-hmm. That's
good. Bringing Him glory. We're expressing that love to Him. So this is why it's important to, well, it's not the only reason, but this is a way we can love God by loving others. So are you the one that this promise is for? Well, let me ask you, are you practically loving others? So
that's a good question. I mean, it just reminds me of the guy who was like, what's the most important commandment? And love God and love others. And
yeah.
It's just so important. Mm-hmm. That's a great illustration of loving your kids. Because I would love somebody who loved my kids like in that
so
way.
So do you have a cool example of someone
do I have a cool
kids?
Example? I mean, just my parents who, like, man, my kids could jump over them and kick them in the face and punch them in the throat. And they would, they would still love them and bring them gifts and hug them and, you know.
I can think of an example. Andy, our parents do not live close, and so our children do not have grandchildren. Our
grandchildren.
Children have grandparents.
I hope not.
Close.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
And so Ellen Graw was a Sunday school teacher for years, and Joshua was one of her kids. And so she would come and get Joshua and Allie Spikine, and she would bring them to Dairy Queen. And that just so touched my heart because they didn't have grandparents here to do that. And so yeah, that's you're right, Dad. When someone loves your children, it means a lot.
There's a young woman. She was she taught gymnastics at the gym I worked out at, and so Carter and Eden were in her class, and there'd be times where I don't know something was going on or whatever, but she would take care of them, give them a ride home, whatever. But then there would be times where just out of the blue, she would go take them to get ice cream. And they would just talk about it. And here's this, Callie was a young woman, probably in her early to mid 20s, you know. You just don't anticipate that age of a person going beyond like that just to love on your kids. And so, man, that young lady could ask for just about anything. And I'd be like, oh, you need some help doing this or that. How can we assist you? You know, how can we do it? Because she loved on Rachel and I through loving on our kids and just, what was it? Probably a 50-cent ice cream cone, a piece or something,
easy.
You know? and yet it meant the world to my kids, which means that it meant the world to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of like, we were doing some youth stuff and this was years ago before COVID, we went to a nursing home and the kids were just up there singing songs to the elderly people that were there. And then afterwards we went and talked to them and prayed for them and stuff like that. And you could tell like all the whole staff was like, wow, they're just lighting up. You can tell that you're loving them well. And I'm like, we're not doing anything except just being here and talking to them. And she was like, we're not allowed to touch the elderly people because abuse or whatever could happen, lawsuits and stuff. So when they were there, the older people were just grabbing their hands and shaking them and like, oh, and touching their face and stuff because they just haven't had that sense of touch. And it just reminded me of a scripture that the lady who was bleeding or whatever, or the leper, that Jesus went, and the scripture always says, and he went and he touched them. And it's just so simple that somebody can feel so loved, just from being touched in mm-hmm. a small way when you think you're doing nothing.
You know, mm-hmm. gosh, just in you saying that, it stuns you about who God is, about who, and talking about just that Jesus giving us that perfect reflection of God the Father. I mean, you're talking about this infinite being that's beyond understanding. He comes here to earth in the most humble of circumstances. Mm-hmm. And a woman who is an outcast, who is untouchable, who is unlovable, yeah. Jesus in front of everyone walks up to her. Now, it is taboo. You do not touch this kind of person.
Even the Bible tells you don't touch them.
And he comes right up and touches her. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, what is happening? What is happening right here? And it's just astounding. The woman at the well, you know, he's talking with her, and here's this.
It's like, why are you talking to me?
dirty lady. I mean, she's there at a time when nobody else would be there to try to be alone because she's, you know, looked down upon a society. And yet Jesus talks to her and knows her dirt, and yet cares for her anyway. And she, of course, she runs back in the village, and here's a man who knows everything ever did.
Biggest evangelist he ever had.
Yeah, no kidding, right? And so it's just one of those. It's one of those. Dynamics where you're just, there's moments you have, and just when you were saying that, you just get stunned again about Jesus, about God, and how, you know, it's who he is, but yet even in Jesus, in Christ there, just that act shows you the love of God and the compassion of God. It's just, it's stunning. And
even Matthew 24, like, we're kind of going on a tangent here, but Jesus says, like, man, you saw me dirty and sick and in prison, and you fed me, and they're like, we didn't see you. He's like, what you did to the least of these, you did for me. So it's just, man, it's kind of mind-boggling that it's so easy to love someone, and yet how many missed opportunities we've had that we don't.
Oh, it's convicting. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I Bethany here with our Mercy and Justice Ministries and some of the different things that we do.
Awesome.
Those kids are least of these, and I'm sure in time when COVID releases, there'll be other avenues that we can investigate in time so that we can make sure that we're loving the least of these. And no church can do it all. Mm-hmm. But you look at who are we and what can we do, and then you do those things. And like I said, Mercy and Justice Ministries are one of those ways that we do that. You know, we do the Good Samaritan boxes. It was the Angel Tree, I think, is another one we did. Mm-hmm.
For the prisoners' children. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I'm really happy that we're a church that says, how can we serve the least of these? And I'm excited, particularly as COVID begins to wane, really focusing on that engage side of church. Because we've been able to focus on gather and grow during this time, but we've really been restrained and engaged.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so hopefully we can look back and start to really focus on how can we, because other than Mercy and Justice Ministry, it's been difficult. How can we love others? How can we focus outwardly? And so if you're listening to this, small group leaders and everyone out there, just know that time is coming sooner rather than later, to where I've encouraged the elders, you know, let's think about this. Let's get a sub team. Let's get some lay leadership. Let's pray about, let's figure out how we can continue and even do better in ministering to the least of these in our community.
It's good.
All right, so better
keep
going, huh?
It's good. Yeah.
I mean, we have you. Yeah. All right, so part of who this promise is for is for those who love God, but then it also says those that are called according to his purpose. Mm. Oh, boy, you get into a multifaceted gem there. But even within that, within these scripture verses, he gives us some things that we can point to and we can look out for. So again, called according to the purpose. Then verse 29 and 30, like we said last week, for this to be explained, you got to look further. In other words, keep reading. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be, all right, this is part of that purpose, conformed to the image of his son. Now, if you think about it, not only do we know that that was the heart of Christ, but also, it should be the heart of the believers, because Galatians 4:9, this is Paul praying, my little children, for who I am again in the anguish of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. It's that goal of seeing the believers, those who have come to Christ, to being matured and conformed into Jesus Christ. In fact, that should be the highest goal of any discipler, because there is no higher calling. You know, Peter tells us to be holy, to be perfect, which is to be like Christ. There is no higher calling, there is no higher ambition that you could ask for than to be like Jesus Christ. And so it's one of those ideas that we are called to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, and should we live a life like his, not only is that for the glory of God, but that's for the betterment of mankind. And with that, if you keep going with the idea of being conformed to the image of the Son, and of course, when we get to being glorified, we can talk about the fullness of that. Mm-hmm. It says to be conformed to the image of the Son in order that, because this is very important, right? I want you to be conformed to the image of the Son. That's what what's going to happen in order, right? Here's some purpose, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers, okay? So what's going on there? I mean, yes, it shows the love of God that he wants many people in heaven, but it's also he's the firstborn, or he's the preeminent of this big family of God. And I totally ripped off John Piper's thoughts on this. I have no shame in it.
Do it all the time.
So I'm just going to kind of read back through those. So God appointed us to share the greatness of the Son so that the Son might be exalted as the greatest among the great. Great thought. God destined us to share Christ's glory in order that the glory of the Son might be magnified in the countless mirrors of those who are conformed to his image. Mm. Oh, that's some heat. God created a second born and a third born and a millionth born so that Christ might be exalted and praised and honored in the midst of redeemed people. Because if you want to talk about you want to glorify God, there might not be anything more glorifying to God than being a part of the process of salvation, because that is another person to live out and to praise God. And that becomes exponential as you go. So it's just one of these dynamics that you want to see God glorified, see people come to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then they begin to glorify them with their life, and then they go touch another life, and they begin to glorify, and then the exponential effect begins to kick in and bring in glory.
So does that firstborn, something that's always confused me, does that firstborn just mean he is the greatest, or he is the first of many? What's the exact definition?
And scholars will tell you there, it's an ancient way of saying the ultimate or the preeminent.
The best.
It's not necessarily chronological. Although in this sense, in a very real way, you know, in that sense of ultimately being restored, coming back from the dead, he's not the first person to be brought from the dead, but it's the ultimate idea of being brought back eternally forever in that glorified state of being brought back. He's that firstborn among many brothers. But truly, it has more to do with the idea of being preeminent. And then we also see in Colossians 1:18, and he's the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be the highest or the preeminent. And so here we go, the first. So there's this purpose here that is to glorify God. Do you remember the quote I read last week from Jerry Bridges? Mm-hmm. And it said, all these things are going to happen in our life that it's going to ultimately glorify God and be good for man.
Yeah.
Conforming to the image of Christ and bringing glory to God. You see it right here more fully explained in the depth of these verses. And so it's just, again, it's powerful. But you know what I'm hit with this overwhelming sense when I look at these things is, got to give it Warren credit from years ago. It's not about me. Mm-hmm. It's good. I enjoy it. But it's not about me. It's about God ultimately. You know, and you think about it, you know, you're created, right? You have purpose, right? I was thinking silly thoughts this morning, like, you know, my dog would not be fulfilled if he tried to be a bird. You know?
Sure.
You know, it wouldn't, that's not what he was meant to do. Yeah. But as we live out our life and we're conformed to the image of God, this greater purpose of God, we bring glory to him, but yet that's also where we find our greatest joy in being who we're created to be. Anyways, that was just a little
That's good.
Note. Thought about that on the way in. How are we doing on time? We're really running out of time, aren't
we? Yeah, we got a minute.
Oh boy.
We might have to go longer because we haven't even hit the stuff.
Yeah, man, the stuff. I don't know. The thing that boggles my mind is the past tense.
Yeah.
Like that. Can we talk about that, or is there something else you want to talk about?
We can talk about the past tense. Because, so all of these, when you start talking about predestined, called, justified, glorified, all of these things with the ED ended, scholars have debated, why did Paul write that way? And most of them want to point to it has to do with the idea that one, God again has infinite knowledge and knows the beginning from the end. but also that it is guaranteed. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely guaranteed. This is a for sure, that if you are called and you are his, then you are and will be glorified. And we don't have time to talk about it, you know, today, but that glorifying there, both in body and soul, a confirmed holiness, all of this where your sin nature is no longer there, living in his presence. It's just, man, so absolutely powerful, and it just boggles the mind. It is talked about in a past tense in a present situation.
And so that's weird. It's like, I made eggs tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't talk like that.
No, you don't.
So but it's weird.
But only God can talk like that, and again, guarantee it. And so, super deep verses. I do want to make this point, since I know that we're out of time. So in the sermon, we talked about foreknowledge, because I think most people would agree with the past tense endings on all of these things.
Sure.
I just want to encourage our small group again, you know, hey, have fun with this, dive into it, be amazed by God from all the different circumstances, or from all the different viewpoints, be amazed at God. And know that we should anticipate this, because God is so huge and God is so big, to never completely understand him or his ways, because we can't. And so I just want to encourage you in your small groups, you know, dive into this, have fun with it, glorify God with it, and just know that, hey, listen, you know, it's okay in these ways if they disagree with you. And here's what's going to happen. One, you're going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you're going to be more convinced in the way that you believe after these discussions.
Mm-hmm.
Or three, you might change your mind.
Oh,
that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Interesting.
I was telling Tammy, I guess it was a few weeks ago, that I have changed my mind on a couple of different theological things, and each one of them took me 2 to 3 years to change my mind on.
Mm-hmm.
And so who knows? It could be a start of a 2 to 3 year process for some people, or you could just become more grounded in what you do believe and a champion for that.
Yeah.
And so here's what a pastor's heart doesn't want to happen is for him to being called from small group leaders and people getting upset and leaving the church and calling other people heretics and getting into fist fights in their small groups. I don't want that. What I want you to do is to think and glorify God in the fact that he is so infinitely wonderful and great that we can't understand them all. And we walk around going, when we leave, we walk around going, God is awesome.
Yeah.
And we're so fortunate to be one of those past tense people.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Mm-hmm. So this is another part of my geeky world. One of my favorite movies is Yentl. And there's a reason that I am intrigued by Jewish things, but there's a line that she sings, "The more I learn, the more I realize, the less I know." I do find myself doing that as I walk with the Lord. It's like I was sure when I was 20 I had it all figured out. And now I'm like, Christ crucified. I've got that figured out. The Trinity. So there's just a few things that I'm very, very sure of. So. Yep.
It is amazing because you're Yentl. Rachel's made me watch that movie so many times.
She has.
Oh, she loves it. Yeah,
oh,
it's
no.
the one where she pretends to be the boy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Rachel,
oh,
I knew I loved you. We are so watching Yentl together.
Yeah. So she loves the movie. Well, we just got a whole another discussion there. Girl dressing up to be a boy to go to boys' school. There is. Just what you're saying, the more you learn, the realize the less you know.
Mm-hmm.
But also with that, you also become okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
When you're younger, you're not okay with not knowing something or not being right or having that mystery to it, right? You think you've got to know it all. You got to solve it all.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you want to know things, and it'd be nice to solve it. But you become okay with the tension and okay with the mystery because you recognize that perhaps you were never meant to understand it all.
And the tension keeps us on our knees. It would be dangerous if we thought that we knew it all.
Yeah,
so
that's a good point.
The tension is a good thing.
Another good point. For
check, check. Check, please. We're done.
Yeah, we got to get out of here.
Well, thanks for joining us on After the Sermon podcast. We'll see you guys Sunday. God bless.